Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
I call myself the Sully of audio. You're the Sully of a pregame. And I'll give you that mark.
I'm the Sully of the pregame.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
We may end up in the Hudson.
The Rich Eisen Show.
Mike Florio. What's the latest on Jimmy Garoppolo?
I think they're going to have to cut him, and I think there's a good chance the Browns are going to have to cut Baker Mayfield.
Earlier on the show, Villanova guard Colin Gillespie. Lions defensive end Michael Brockers. Still to come, ESPN Sports Center anchor Scott Van Pelt. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number three of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air, and we have reached a crossroads of this program. I don't mean to sound too dramatic, but it's the truth. And what do I mean by this? I mean, we've been on the air 7+ years. This fall will be 8-year anniversary of the Rich Eisen Show. And TJ Jefferson, you have done an exemplary job over the last 2 days. Not anything out of the ordinary. You bring your A game every single day. And I don't want you to feel left out, Jay Felly, because, you know, you bring your own sense of self and essence and body ink that Del Tufo doesn't bring to that seat. Okay. And now back brace. I think you're handling your business very well. You got your one shot. You're doing a great job.
That's what's up.
Thank you very much. Appreciate that chance. Okay. So,
and that's Chance the Rapper.
This is just a very long wind up. Scott Van Pelt's about to join us on this program, and it'll be great. And so, the reason why I'm bringing this up is you, TJ Jefferson, have done an exemplary job with Brockman saying, "Hey, you know, I need a couple of days off. I'm going to Cabo."
Yeah.
Okay, with Sarah, Tiana, and Cage.
Must be nice.
International Cage. Okay.
I'm trying to be like you, my boy.
And so he's there. Mm-hmm. You did a great job doing Overreaction Monday yesterday.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Just terrific.
That.
You came up with the construct. You fed the machine very well.
Okay. I'm not the machine.
No. The machine of you know, you placing something that is being discussed writ large by the sports community, mm-hmm. and I react to it saying it's either an overreaction or not. You included the Oscars and Will Smith and Chris Rock in it as well. I mean, you went topical. You went sports. It was great. In other words, I didn't miss Chris. And so another staple of this program that Chris Brockman does every now and then is the news.
Uh-huh.
Okay. And you're about to endeavor that. And that's what I mean by a crossroads. So if you complete this double dip, mm-hmm. before he arrives back here tomorrow, then, you know, me bringing it up might be a little more awkward than I'm planning it to be. Okay.
All right. Well, full disclosure to my people at home, and yes, you know, America and worldwide, I try to be real with you people. I'm a little nervous because I've never actually done the news on this show before. So
I know that
we're going to see how this goes.
Why are you nervous? It's just the news.
Yeah, well, there's a billion people potentially watching me right now.
Okay.
So, you know.
Well, now I'm nervous. I don't get nervous. All right. So do we play the drop? Okay, we'll do it. Hit it. Go for it.
And now, with a report of the day's news from the world of sports and entertainment, someone who is not a journalist or newsman by any definition of the word whatsoever, it's TJ Jefferson.
TJ. Oh, nice.
Hey.
Well done, Smidge and Jordan and everyone at home. Graphically, we just scratched out his name.
Put me in there.
Put you in there.
Mama, I made it.
And then did you both jump in saying his name?
No, I didn't. I think Feller.
Yeah, I didn't know that was going to be there.
I was on the drop.
I was on the drop.
You curb stomped your own drop.
Yeah, I did.
Thanks, feller. I mean, first of all, you take my makeup artist, and then you turn my mic off, and
your
now you're
makeup
my
artist.
Drop.
Very
you
know good. I mean? Okay, so, you have the floor, TJ.
All right. Well, Rich, as you know, the NCAA has been getting roasted for years by athletes, coaches, and administrators for their infractions process. You know, so now get this: they have the backing of Senator Cory Booker and Marsha Blackburn. Now, think about that—a Republican and a Democrat and a Republican working in harmony.
Like, those two don't strike me as on the same page.
Yeah, right. But a Democrat and a Republican actually working in harmony together—who would have thunk it? It's almost like that's what they should be doing for the benefit of the people. But hey, this isn't a political show, so we're not going to get into that. But basically, Rich, they're going to introduce a bipartisan bill that will, quote, establish strict requirements of the long maligned NCAA infraction process, overhauling the operation by involving the Department of Justice and U.S. Attorney General. That's very wordy. But basically, it's a 10-page bill that's going to attempt to streamline the NCAA's investigative arm. So basically, it'll require inquiries to be done in a faster time. You know, you're going to basically have 8 months. If there's a problem, NCAA has to handle it. Let's see. The NCAA, the bill says, cannot investigate violations that were alleged to have happened more than 2 years previous. The bill would prohibit the NCAA from using confidential sources as an evidence for decisions. So it's kind of like our buddy Purr. Mm. Purr's out. You can't use Purr no more.
Purr's out. Close to the situation is no longer going to be allowed to be close to the situation.
And the school can appeal punishments by using a three-arbiter panel, different from the NCAA's current appeals committee. Like I said, it's a 10-page thing, so, but they're trying to get things right. But more importantly, a Democrat and a Republican are trying to work together.
So here's my two takes on this one. So first of all, as anybody who paid even a slight iota of attention to the confirmation hearing that just took place in the Senate Judiciary Committee, on which both Cory Booker and Marsha Blackburn sit, and see how both of them handled their queries of Judge Jackson. You would say these two can never agree on anything.
Right.
And we have found out just how bad the NCAA is as what they do, is that both Cory Booker and Marsha Blackburn are saying, am I right?
Am I right?
This is terrible, and we should do something about it together. So that just shows you. And then the other thing is the NCAA, you better get on it, because it's kind of what I tell my kids. When my kids don't do something, and then they don't do it again, and then it's a third time where we catch them with their, now I understand this is different from the infractions process, say clothes on the floor, not hung up.
That would seem to be a common problem.
Right. the lack of diligence in hand washing. You know, that sort of stuff. Listening, grit large, just listening. And it happens over and over again. We say to them, like, don't you prefer you handling it yourself rather than us coming in and telling you how it's going to be handled?
Absolutely, I would.
That's what we tell our kids all the time. Like, we try to reason. This is Senators Booker and Blackburn telling the NCAA, you don't want us coming in here.
Right. You don't want these problems.
And if you think, well, nothing's going to pass Congress. Hey, it's Booker and Blackburn.
B&B.
That's a hell of a B&B that you didn't think they could. So if they can get together, I think there can be some sort of consensus.
That's what I'm saying.
It's a wake-up call. Like, handle your business.
Plus, you don't want Uncle Sam in your business.
Oh, you don't. That's the whole point. Pick your clothes up off the floor. What else you got over
you
there?
You hear that, Coop and Zan? I know Taylor's doing her business. It's those two.
What do you
about.
Got over there?
All right.
What
well, else? In some NFL news, the Red Rifle, Andy Dalton.
Where's he going?
He's going to head down to the Bayou. He just signed a 1-year deal with the Saints. He's going to back up Jameis. Well, unless he turns Teddy two gloves and won't admit that he's the backup. But for now, we're assuming he's going to be there to back up Jameis Winston.
Yeah, because Dennis Allen said Taysom Hill, well, take some of this, is going to be the tight end, right?
That's my next thing. I have actually, you jumped the gun a little.
Oh, sorry.
You know, step back. Let me handle this. We have a soundbite.
We don't have the case. You know,
yeah, it's not the first time.
No, yeah. it's like the receiver and quarterback. Yeah. We haven't done these reps outside of the.
I wanted you to run it out, and you ran a slant, but we'll get it right.
Okay, sorry. Know?
So, Hoskins, we actually have...
What do we got?
We have some sound here
from
about
who?
This. From the Saints coach, Dennis Allen.
I think the role for Taysom really is going to be a lot more of the kind of F tight end, move tight end type of role. I think that's the direction that we need to move with him, because I think he can be one of the better players in the league in that role. And so I don't like having Taysom, if Jameis is out there playing quarterback, I don't really like Taysom standing next to me on the sideline. And so I think you'll see him more in that type of role.
There you go.
So Taysom Hill will be seeing some tight end reps.
Taysom Hill's time as a quarterback has come to an end.
It does appear so, right?
Sean Payton... do you have the what were they really thinking drop somewhere? I don't know how Del Tufo, how he labels it.
Incorrectly.
Or anything. Okay.
What were they
but
really
I mean,
thinking?
Yeah, this is what Dennis Allen wants to say on the subject matter. Ah, screw it.
We'll just do it. They'll be like, hey, Rich.
Do you have it? Do you have it over there?
Still looking, sorry.
Don't worry
we'll just
about
go
it.
Rich, let me ask you a question. What was Dennis Allen really thinking?
What was Dennis Allen really thinking? Here's what he's thinking. Sean Payton's not here anymore. Sean Payton's not walking through that door. Although he does seem to have like a little bit of the Sean Payton cadence while talking a little bit. I think he picked that up from Sean.
You picked that up.
But
there.
Yeah. You have it? Yeah. Hit it.
What were they really thinking?
See, now that's production value.
That is.
Yeah, Sean Payton's not around here anymore, folks. That was Sean's idea for Taysom Hill to be a quarterback. That's not mine. You know what? I want a defensive-minded head coach. I don't need a guy who's just standing next to me when he can actually be making plays out there just because I have to make sure he's healthy in case the other guy gets hurt. I don't want that anymore. Bring me Andy Dalton. I'd rather that. And then I'd rather Taysom Hill make some plays. That's what he's really thinking.
That's what he was
thinking. And you know what? Also, this is the latest example of what if Tim Tebow had actually said, okay, I'll play tight end.
Think about it.
What if he's like, okay, I get it.
You mean back then as
back
opposed to...
Back in the day, not the Urban not Meyer, the Urban let's Meyer, go yeah. hire him before I kick my kicker. Yes, like what if Tebow had said, yeah, I get it. I'll rock up more and let's go. And one other thing too, Andy Dalton being signed by the Saints, you know what that is?
What's that?
He's Trevor Siemian plus. That's what he is.
How so?
That's what I mean. Like his back, Jameis's backup last year was Trevor Siemian.
Oh yeah, that's right.
So he's actually, he's Siemian plus plus Andy Dalton. So Andy Dalton in the Fleur de Lis on the side of his helmet.
How about that?
Here we go.
Going down.
But I do think they are better with Dalton backing up Jameis and Taysom Hill taking snaps. That's I think that's a solid
upgrade.
Maneuver.
Yeah. For sure.
Yes. Yes.
All right.
What else? Oh, well, by the way, his contract is pretty damn hefty for a tight end.
Yeah. Well, for a guy who would be sitting next to the coach for 2/3 of the plays,
and I like
Taysom, put him out there in the
exactly.
field.
Exactly. You know? And I like Taysom Hill. When he's come on this program, I don't know if he's terribly happy about not playing quarterback anymore, but he can be. By the way, how about that for an emergency three sitting out there?
There you go. And I'm sure they will have packages for him. You know, run them in there, do some
Taysom package.
Taysom pack. Taste some of this, taste some of that. All right, news out of Buffalo, Rich.
By the way, way to transition yourself.
Thank you.
Sometimes Brockman doesn't do.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
News out of Buffalo,
like
New York and Erie County have announced a $1.4 billion public/private deal. I don't know how that works when you're dealing with that many commas and zeros because I don't got that many. But a deal for a new Buffalo Bills stadium on Monday.
Public/private means the owner's like, I'm not paying for all of it.
So the taxpayers have to foot.
Which is kind of rare anymore.
$850 million of this. But my question to you is now Buffalo Bills are going to stay. They got a brand new shiny stadium. My question to you was,
Darryl, look at that
shouldn't
rendering.
There been a top on this stadium or no? No. Think about everything they could do in there.
Well, first of all, here's a couple reasons. First of all, just money of it. Okay, the fact that the Pegulas are getting a single dime of public funds is kind of a shocker. I thought those days were long gone, especially when you're also seeing, because I'm from New York State. Yeah. I follow what goes on in my old home state.
Back
in the East Coast. They're already starting to talk about the budget's coming out. You're cutting funds for
schools,
regular people. And so I understand economic development and trickle down or how it affects a community. And I just didn't know if the bills are really going to leave. But the long story short is just dollars and cents. The $5.5 billion stadium that's just up the road from here that just hosted the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. Okay. $5.5 billion. Do you know that the canopy over the stadium, over SoFi Stadium, it's because it's not a dome. The roof rests on these columns that covers the stadium. It's not attached, right?
Not completely sealed.
Right. It's
keep airflow
correct.
Going.
That alone, I was told, cost $1.5 billion alone.
Oh, okay. Well, that makes sense now.
Okay. So I can't imagine how much it would cost to put a lid on that pot in Western New York.
Yeah, I mean, Buffalo averages.
I can't even imagine. So you're talking about just economically, I'm sure it made people's heads explode and it was a non-starter. We're not, but also you're talking about Buffalo Bills football. You're not made to play indoors.
Yeah, but
you play outdoors. You got to look at Tyreek Hill, and I understand he played in Kansas City, which is no day at the beach. But you got to tell this offense that's speedy, fast, built on speed, that Mike McDaniels is building on speed, and you got to tell that offense, you're coming to Western New York, and you're looking at that schedule. You want to see the Dolphins at home every December. If that game gets scheduled in September, I'm sure the Bills are like, come on now. You want that team that practices and plays in 70 degrees to come up to you. You don't want to have them show up in a dome.
Yeah,
and by the way, I say this fully aware that Mike McDaniel is also the guy that saddled up Debo Samuel, with Kyle Shanahan.
Yeah.
So it's not like he's,
rinky-dink,
all fast football that's not weatherized properly. As a matter of fact, the Niners were more weatherized for that situation as it's been discussed in Green Bay.
But aren't you also giving your team, the Bills, the optimum, giving them the best possible conditions to win a football game as well?
Okay, here's the deal. Here's how we're going to decide this. Mike Hoskins is our coordinating producer, who is also at the controls.
Yes.
Mike, take TJ Jefferson for a second on his shot. He is a diehard Bills fan. If you agree with me that the Bills cannot play football indoors of their own accord, switch cameras to me right now. Radio folks, he just took my camera.
He did.
Bills fans don't want to play indoors. Come on now.
It was just a thought.
Stop.
Just a thought. I'm trying to, as you know, I'm a Josh Allen fan, and I'm trying to give him the best conditions possible.
Dude,
they
burn inanimate objects to stay warm in the parking lot. That's how they
roll.
That's
right. Those people will jump off of vans through tables. They really don't care.
They
want to
go indoors because they're going to be uncomfortable.
Rich. Yeah, I forgot about Bills Mafia. You're right.
They don't feel uncomfortable. They want to make the others coming in feel uncomfortable. And I think #BillsMafia agrees with me right now.
You're right. And you know what? I'm not someone who won't change my opinion. I had a thought. I listened to what you said, and now I realize you're right. So,
And how often does that happen by the guy who normally does the news?
Well, I mean,
never.
I'm not here to kick a man when he's not here.
I am. I'm here for that.
Hey, Rich, you also
well done.
Well, I got one more for you.
You got one more.
I mean, I got three more, but I'll give you one.
Well, hold on a second. How about this? We go to Van Pelt.
Oh yeah, we got Scotty,
and then we got on the other side. You'll finish the rest of your news.
I mean, because I was nervous. No, I'm not, so I'm ready to
You're
go.
You're on a roll now.
Let's do this.
Plus, before we go to break, Mercedes-Benz wants to ask you, when was the last time you seriously considered your dream? It's more likely than not. It's been a very long time. So what happened? It's time for you and your dream to get back together. Think about it. You could live the van life in a totally customized Mercedes-Benz Sprinter. You could tour around all 423 national park sites, build a mountain cabin with your dad, start your own business. It's really whatever you dream up. And it's a Mercedes-Benz van we're talking about, so expect innovative safety features like crosswind assist and blind spot assist. Expect amazing performance and reliability with an MBUX voice command system, a 5-star dealer network, and an available gas engine. It runs like, well, guess what? A dream. So what do you say? Head to the Mercedes-Benz van dealership near you and get that Sprinter and tell them your dream sent you. When we come back, we'll stroll down Sports Center memory lane, Stuart Scott memory lane, talk Carolina and Duke and Masters with Scott Van Pelt.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Hey, folks, it's time for the NFL draft, which means for me, I need a good night's sleep, because if I don't have one, I'm just not myself. You know the deal. You know exactly how important it is to have quality sleep. It's a game changer for all of us. So Sleep Number helps me. My Sleep Number setting is 60. My wife's setting is 70. We both get a great night's sleep because we could adjust the firmness of our mattress on each side. Improve your quality sleep because Sleep Number learns how you sleep thanks to their smart beds and provide personalized insights to help you sleep better. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Let's place this aside for the moment. We've been talking quite a bit about this this moment, and I just want to focus again on the Final Four that's coming up this weekend. Because, you know, I left here yesterday and I thought to myself, you know, I always bring his name up, trying to keep his name alive, his legacy alive. Anytime there's a big sporting event, certainly in the basketball world, I think, what would Stuart Scott think? And now you've got his beloved Tar Heels on a remarkable run, sparked by ruining the Cameron indoor party for Coach K in his final home game as coach. And now here they are facing each other for the first time ever in the NCAA tournament, and it's in the Final Four, and they could send Coach K into retirement. And I just think to myself, what would Stuart think? And I thought, who would be great to talk about it? And it's this next guest joining me on the Mercedes-Benz Vans phone line, one of my favorite people, keeping the old-school Sports Center light and spirit alive every single night at midnight with his version of the show. He is Scott Van Pelt on the Mercedes-Benz Vans phone line. How you doing, Scott?
Better. Been too long. Been too long. And
it has been.
You know how this goes in this business, right? Like your friends that you watch, and I'll see you, whether it's some clip I see on Twitter or wherever, and hopefully vice versa. Somehow you're vaguely aware of what we're doing, but this is so much better to actually, you know, sort of shake hands and hug from afar. So thanks for having me back.
It is exactly that, and you know, I was thinking of you the other day. Because whenever Stuart pops in my brain, I think of the folks at SportsCenter and ESPN who were there with him back in the day. And Stuart pops in my brain anytime North Carolina does well in anything. And I'm like, you know, who can I call to reach out to have this conversation about Stuart Scott and what we're seeing right now? Because what we're seeing right now is not just a run by North Carolina. The fact that here they are again, now in the Final Four against Coach K again, after what happened at Cameron, and this could be Coach K's last game or not. And it's their first Final Four appearance. This is off the charts. And I'm like, I got to call Scott and just throw that in your lap, which I just did. Scott,
love it. You know. And it makes me smile to think about, you know, our friend. And it made me remember being on the set at 10 years ago now, which is impossible to fathom, but it's 2012, and Stuart and I are going to follow Duke Carolina, and it's in Chapel Hill, and Carolina is winning fairly comfortably most of the game, and then it's one of those things that happens in rivalry games where it starts to, maybe Duke's got a shot here, maybe Duke's got a shot here. Well, Austin Rivers hit the shot. They went at the buzzer, 85-84. Now, this is very inside TV, but I'll explain it in a way that would hopefully make sense if you don't do TV. When you're following a live event and the director gets in your ear, the IFB, the thing that's in your ear, and says, next count to us, what that means is the event is live. It just hit this miraculous shot, but in 20 seconds, you're on. And Stuart and I are meant to follow this game, and you know it's got a massive audience because the game's incredible, and Carolina has just lost like this, and their next count to us, and they're counting it down, and Stuart and I are just standing there, silence. And I look at him, and I say, if you leave, I'll understand. If that happened to Maryland, I'm gone. I'm leaving now. And he's like, no. He's like, no. He just gives you like that. Like he gave you like put his hand up. Yeah, I'm good. And of course, the red light comes on, and no one's better. And he managed to just eat that gigantic L that Duke cooked up for him. And we did a show, and I just was smiling and laughing, thinking about that because there's nothing you can do when you have when the world knows, and you do it with Michigan, I do it with Maryland, he did it with Carolina. We're all from somewhere. That's where we're from.
Yes.
And he was proud of it, and he wore it proudly, and he wore it valiantly in defeat, and that night was defeat. But my God, Rich, the idea of Carolina and Duke in the Final Four, I happened to be in Cameron for that final game where for Coach K, and Carolina played brilliantly. And I think it changed their season, and I also think it changed Duke's season because it got their attention.
Yes, it did.
It's just remarkable. Imagine this. I want you to think about this. Michigan hosts Ohio State.
Mm-hmm.
Jim Harbaugh has become the winningest football coach in the history of college football. Ohio State comes to Ann Arbor in Harbaugh's last game, and they beat him. And then Harbaugh and Michigan get a chance to play Ohio State in the college football playoff.
Mm.
And imagine what you'd feel, because that's what Stuart would be feeling right now.
Yeah, because there really is. I'm trying to put it in any sort of perspective here, and the only thing that can come to it is, you know, Packers Bears in an NFC Championship game. You know, although that wound up in the hands of Caleb Haney a couple years ago. You know,
all due respect.
I should have front loaded it because that does sound disrespectful the way I said it.
Right.
Yankees Red Sox ALCS, but it wasn't like the end of Torrey's career, and I don't even know if Torrey, even with all that winning, he wasn't there for 40 years like Coach K, and isn't the winningest manager in the history of baseball. Like,
right.
You can't.
Right,
I don't know if this is any comparison.
Red Sox Yankees. We've seen it. It's happened.
Right.
Like, as crazy it is, it's happened.
Yes.
I mean, this is Auburn, Alabama in the playoff. It's Ohio State, Michigan in a playoff. It's something that has never happened in the history of clearly one of the greatest rivalries in sports, and now it's happening. And it's not just happening, Rich. It's happening. As Mike Krzyzewski, the winningest coach that we've ever had, is leaving, and if you're Carolina, as fantastic as it was for you to go into Cameron and spoil the party, imagine if you get to end his career. like no one from Duke ever gets to say anything to you ever again.
You close up shop. That's it.
You just wave your hand and go, no, 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 stop talking, stop talking, stop talking. Right?
Yeah.
It's the Farrell Riley scene in Step Brothers. Just shut your mouth. Stop talking.
That's it. That's essentially what is on the line, right?
Yeah.
And again, that's why I think of Stuart, about what he would be thinking about this. And this is, we use hyperbole all the time in what we do for a living, Sean Van Pelt, but this is the biggest Duke Carolina game ever, and I don't know how there could be another, because there won't be another Coach K, right? There won't be another first time that they meet. I mean, Hubert Davis being involved in it is an interesting plot twist,
For sure.
But this is the biggest Carolina Duke game ever, and there won't be another like it. You could make that case easily.
No, and then the fact that the other game, right? Like Villanova and Kansas are. I mean, and this is. I mean, this is, I don't know if it's even a debate necessarily, but I mean, yes. as the Blue Bloods go, Nova's new to it in a sense because, you know, they don't have the history that dates back 60 years or whatever. But I mean, when you're top 10 all time in Final Fours and you're top 10 all time in titles won, then in my opinion, you're a Blue Blood. Jay Wright, I think, is the next K in the sense of a guy that never has to leave where he is for anything. And I think will be the statesman of the game from where he is for as long as he chooses to be there. But what I'm getting at is it's them against Kansas, who's also on that list of team that's won a ton of titles and has gone to a boatload of Final Fours. And they're sort of like the other game, right?
Yeah.
I mean, they're massive, massive programs who won titles, you know, in recent memory. And yet, it's Carolina and Duke at 9:40 on a Saturday night in New Orleans, Mike. God, it's like, look, we are guilty of hyperbole, and Lord knows, you worked here, I do work here, we're capable of making it a bit nauseating at times,
right?
At the shop, right? Because the tonnage of conversation about it just gets to be like, enough. But in this case, if anything's justifying it in sports, this justifies it. And the fact that Carolina did go to Cameron and win already, which really launched them and changed the whole trajectory of their season, it's what makes what we are lucky enough to do, talk about sports, so much fun. And it's, you know, it's only Tuesday, and I have nothing to do with this game, but I'm pacing around my kitchen right now, like throw the ball up, let's go.
I know, that's amazing. Scott Van Pelt here on the Rich Eisen Show, and you just mentioned the tonnage of coverage. That is potentially weighty for the fans to consume, you know, with Coach K in his final four, and it's against UNC, and, you know, the coverage can be significant. But that would only be a walk in the park if Tiger appears at the Masters at Augusta National the following week. Do you think that's possible, Scott Van Pelt?
Rich, I have gone from... waving my hand, shut your mouth, coming off stupid.
Yes.
I'm coming off stupid. You're wearing tuxedos to an interview for cleaning bathrooms. Sorry, I'm doing Step Brothers quotes. Yes. I did dismiss that. It was not happening. There's no chance this is happening.
Right.
And now it's the Tuesday before the Masters week, and it's not happening. It's there's enough of a waft of the possibility in the air, and here's what I know is that I don't know. All right, I don't know if he can, but it certainly appears, Rich, that they're going to kick the tires on how he feels about it. And the thing about Augusta National, as has been mentioned so often, is it is the hilliest golf course that players compete on in major championships. And the man nearly lost a limb. And so you can roll your eyes about golfers on athletes, and then fine. But I'll promise you this. Walking, when you play golf, do you walk or do you ride? I don't know a ton of people that walk, because at the end of it, you're like, man, that's more than you thought. Well, Augusta is a walk that taxes players in a different way. And so if he can do it, it wouldn't shock me if he tried. And... you know, a guy that I work with, whose name you'd know, and again, this is Inside TV, but he's legendary in our business. His name's Mike McQuaid, and guy I work for doing golf. And we were talking about it last night. I said, like, so will we talk about anything else prior to Thursday morning? And he said, well, of course. But just the idea of Tiger on a range swinging a club that he's going to play Thursday morning, it'd be a lot for us to discuss. And it would be great for every other player, because then they could just very casually stroll down the middle of the fairway doing their work, and nobody be talking about him or paying attention to him, because just the idea that Woods was back giving it a go would be storyline A.
But you think wherever he is right now, he's sitting there thinking about it? You think that he's going through whatever physical paces he needs to? Yes.
I do. I've known him a long time, and I know that it's the old Arnold Palmer, right? Where if you're in the woods, but you kind of see that window between the trees, you're like, you know, you can fit it through there, maybe. Yeah. Well, let's find out. I mean, and I don't know, using that analogy, I don't know if he's got a small window or if he feels like he's got, I got an opening here. Let's see. I mean, only he knows physically how he feels. But if I think he did an incredible job of just poking that balloon anytime he was asked, right? When they were out in your neck of the woods at Riviera and he was on CBS with Jim Nantz and he was talking about, well, look, I mean, it was just dismissive, entirely dismissive. Like, I haven't had a chance to practice. I mean, you can't go there and do this unless mm-hmm. you can do A, B, C, and D, and I just haven't been able to do that. Well, if he's been able to do that between then and now, and he has, you know, any shot of giving it a go. Here's the thing, Rich. He's won it, and he's allowed back as long as he's ambulatory and wants to compete. So it's not like he goes out and shoots a big number and doesn't get to come back. I mean, nothing ventured, nothing gained, right? If he can do it. So, I don't know. Maybe I'm talking myself into something crazy here. And maybe he doesn't. But it just, the fact that we're even having the conversation, I wouldn't have thought was possible a week ago. And now it's like, there's enough chatter about it that I wonder.
Just to bring it all full circle then, Scott, since, you know, you and I are professional bringing it all full circle people.
Yeah, among the best, I think.
Well, you know what? I agree. So putting it all together, if UNC beats Duke and then cuts down the nets and then Tiger reappears at Augusta after everything, then we know Stuart Scott is pulling some levers wherever he's sitting right now above us.
Yeah.
Then we know
and
that. That would be a fact.
And I'll tap my chest and point my finger to the sky and say, my man, we're thinking of you as we often do, and we appreciate you. Yes. That would certainly indicate that he's got some sweat.
He's got some sway. He's got some juice. We all know he does as we turn our pillow over to the cool side. So I'll tell you this story in letting you go. I don't know if I've ever told you this story, but Stuart Scott and I were at a Jimmy V golf tournament, the famed Jimmy V, the V Foundation charity, and there was the golf tournament down in Raleigh, and it was huge, man. Back in the day, late 90s, Michael Jordan would be there, and Charles Barkley, and all the college coaches would be there in Raleigh in the middle of the summer. So Stuart and I pull up, we're getting ready to play golf, and we're at the bag drop at the golf course, and who pulls up but Mike Krzyzewski. Okay, in the car, and he drops off his bag at the bag drop, and we watch him maneuver his car to go back to the parking lot, and it was a K-turn. We watched him make a K-turn in his car, and Stuart and I looked at each other, and we're like, did we just watch Coach K make a K-turn in his car? And it's similar to that SportsCenter commercial, like you and him watching Arnold Palmer making an Arnold Palmer. It literally was a real life This Is SportsCenter commercial with Stuart and I watching that.
How is no one rolling tape?
It's before Twitter, before everything, you know.
The most iconic of those spots are just those. Arnold Palmer making iced tea and lemonade, and Stuart, there's nothing to say. You watch the man make a K-turn. Now, did Stuart go casually walk over and key the man's car?
No, I do believe one of the people he dropped off was Roy Williams, who Stuart would always tell, because he was with Kansas at the time, that he was at the wrong school. You know, he would tell Roy frequently that he needed to come home, which he eventually did, as we all know. But no, he did not. Stuart, Stu definitely loved Coach K and everything about it. But when it all came down to it, I think it was a Duke Carolina game that Stuart and I, when we were first paired together, we were on right after on like an 11 o'clock Sports Center. And Dick Vitale mentioned us, hey, stick around for Rich and Stu. What a great team they are. Mm-hmm. And we looked at each other like, okay. Where we have arrived. And, you know,
right on.
Just to bring it all, you know, together, Mike McQuaid, who you just mentioned, was the producer, the in the ear of Dan and Keith for the big show. And so we were trying to, you know, be just as big as them or as significant as that team. And when we heard Dick say that, we kind of looked at each other like, okay, this is pretty cool. You know,
that's such a great story because, you know, Dick has that kind of thing, you know, I mean, mm-hmm. where he was, I mean, not a kingmaker in the sense, but if he took note of who you were at a time before you became what you became, right? That's a little bit of, you know, get your chest a little swollen, feel good about it, and then you know, off you go and you do a show. And what fun it is to remember, right?
No doubt,
you did it. I was lucky enough to do it. Sit there with Stuart following a Carolina Duke game, and you know, and now here comes the biggest one there's ever been. That's you did me a favor by reaching out, because I got a gigantic smile on my face thinking about my friend, and you know, I appreciate that. It's great fun to remember.
You're the man, Scott Van Pelt. Love you, brother. Let's do this more often. And anytime I could be of any guest service to you, I'm always around. You know that.
My man, I appreciate you. Be well, Rich. Until next time, stay good, okay?
You're the man. @NotTheFakeSVP, a must follow on Twitter. I do it. You should as well. Scott Van Pelt here on The Rich Eisen Show. Some old school stuff right there.
Bringing back sweet memories.
I'm telling you, I do remember. I think it was Carolina Duke. Stu and I were following it. I forget which game it was, but I just do remember, you know, we're sitting there coming up next, and Dickie V, when they read, you know, I think it was probably Mike Patrick doing the game with Dick or something
Mike Patrick.
Remember that?
Yeah.
And
awesome, baby.
I think it was that combination. And Stewart's, when he's like, hey, Stuart, Rich Eisen and Stuart Scott sitting or getting ready to do sports after, and Dick's like, Stu and Rich, they're terrific. I watch them all the time. They're incredible. They're wonderful. You got to stick around to it, whatever. And Stu and I were kind of looking at each other.
You became made men at that point.
Well,
right?
That's when we went from diaper dandies to PTPs, you know? And so I send my best to Dick, too. You know, he's out there. He's tweeting about how he's going through
chemo
cancer treatments. And those Jimmy V's. Those Jimmy V's, Dick was there. And when he got up on the stage and started talking to the crowd about the seriousness of cancer and let's beat cancer, I'm getting goosebumps just hearing the way he would speak in the room. And it was just so opposite the guy that you saw on television. Mm-hmm. And it was so jarring the first time I saw it. And I just remember about, like, how in the world are you not giving after hearing that? Yeah. Like, sidewinder of a speech in a room. And so the fact that he's going through his own experience right now with cancer, I send my best to him.
Absolutely.
Love that guy. Called me on my honeymoon.
Oh, yeah?
I never told that story to you. I'll tell you the story when I come back. Might eat into your one last item for your news. And then there's SVP of football ops has spoken about the taunting rule. That's Troy Vincent. Okay. Let's take a break. Lots to get to before we close up shop on a busy Tuesday.
Our house is a mess. Come on in. I'm Amber Wallen, internet comedian and host of your new favorite podcast, Fly on the Wallen.
Okay, that's pretty presumptuous to assume that this is going to be their favorite podcast, by the way.
Anyway, that wasp that you just heard interrupt me is my husband.
And co-host, Benjamin Wallen.
Listen in as we discuss relationships and keeping our sweet baby kid alive.
Fly on the Wallen, wherever you listen.
America starts the day with America in the Morning.
The first of three pushes of storminess.
Hi, I'm John Trout, your host for the latest news, politics, entertainment, business, and weather.
A speech with political overtones.
Our staff of correspondents provide a fast-paced look at the world with specialized reports from where news happens.
The judge's decision was based on finding there is a likelihood.
So far, the central bank appears to be threading that.
Concise, accurate, and fresh each day.
America in the Morning, the podcast, available wherever you listen.
Back here, 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. Real quick, Dick Vitale, after I left ESPN, mm-hmm. Got shown the door, however you want to put it.
You left.
I was not renewed, as ESPN called it.
You chose the path less traveled.
Whatever. Yeah. I'm on my honeymoon. It happened, by the way, 10 days before I got married to Susie. And I'm driving on the A1 in a rental car in Italy. And people are... I mean, I don't know how you say tailgating in Italian, but they're not afraid of it. Okay, going real fast. And I'm like, it's wild. My phone rings, and Susie's like, I'll get it. She answers it, and it's Dick Vitale calling. He got my number to call me how upset he was that I wasn't with ESPN anymore, and he wanted to tell me how much, you know, it bothered him and wished me luck.
Oh, that's dope.
And I'm like, it's so fitting that I'm in Italy and you're calling me, Dick, you know? Right. And I knew it had to be somebody serious on the phone that Susie's like, I'm answering this. All these crazy Italians are tailgating us and we're just married and I'm not really trusting how you're driving. And she actually hands me the phone to talk while I'm on the phone. I'm like, it must be, is this the president?
It's got to be important.
It was Dick.
I think we have that call here.
Mitch Eisen is awesome, baby, with a capital A.
There it is.
You know, Rich, also, well, just like, you know, the whole Stuart Scott situation, you know, obviously I'm no Stuart Scott, but as someone who used to in college, and I've told you, I used to write my, you know, my basketball stories. I'd put hip hop lingo in there, just, you know, hearing this talk about Stuart and knowing what he meant. And then, like, in a very weird sense, sitting here with you daily, it's just every now and then I catch myself and I go, wow. Like, because such a Stuart fan, watch you guys on SportsCenter, you know, the vernacular, the language he used, the way he presented his sports. And it's just like, for me to be sitting here sometimes, I do kind of catch myself like, wow, this is Rich. And Stuart used to sit with Rich, and I used to sit and watch Stuart and Rich. And this is crazy to me sometimes.
Nice of you to voice that. And again, it's my pleasure to have a platform in which I could keep bringing his name up.
Yeah.
You know, it's been a while since he's passed, and I just don't want him to be forgotten, or his name needs to be kept alive.
Yeah, no doubt.
I take that very seriously. And anybody who's known him, like Scott or Susie Kalber, right? Laura Oakman is another person who was really, really tight with Stu. And I know I'm leaving some names out.
Seems like everybody that he came in contact
with.
Yeah,
but there are some people who are particularly, really tight with him.
I'm sure, yeah.
And, you know, just it's important to bring it up. Before we go out the door, hey, Bills fans, I know you're upset about the way that things ended in Kansas City this year. How does the NFL saying today that there were 61 penalties called for taunting this year, but four of them that they missed, and one of the ones that they missed was Tyreek Hill giving the deuces going to the end zone?
Well, we all said we
were glad that didn't get called. Now the Bills did, as we know, score again to take the lead and, you
kind
know,
of wipe that off.
Yeah. But that moment, the league says should have been flagged. I don't think it should be flagged.
We were all
glad
the
way
that
they were calling the way that when it wasn't, I was relieved when they didn't, but the way that they were calling it all year long, I was surprised that they didn't. Here was Troy Vincent, the man in charge of football ops in the NFL, what he had to say today.
Troy, you talk about the taunting rule and how many, you talked about the statistics of the calls that were made and how many of those were bad. On the flip side, I think fans' frustration with this rule is the missed calls. I mean, we all saw Tyreek throw up the peace sign at the Bills defenders and not get called. Did y'all do the other way of we missed this many calls that should have been called for taunting?
Yes, ma'am, and Tyreek was one that was missed. So we looked at both. Tyreek Hill play that you were talking about, that was a missed call, should have been called. And then there was a few, I remember there was a wide play in Pittsburgh that him and someone else in the Baltimore game. But it's important to acknowledge in the videos is the ultimate, you know, that's where we all can look at and say, this is what we want, this is what we don't want. So we understand the fans feel, but it goes back to the players know. And, you know, it just leads to bad outcomes, and the game becomes personal ball. And then that's what you don't want. We want to avoid that. So, but yes, man, we did acknowledge. We looked at everything.
By the way, I love that he's got his Walter Payton Man of the Year pin on his lapel, which is awesome. The other thing is that the problem is the NFL just shouldn't be in the business of being the judge of what's considered taunting and what isn't. That is, as you know, particularly fraught with problems, certainly because and my answer to his answer would be to just stare at him. And that, as you know, is a taunt.
You're taunting me right now.
If you're Cassius Marsh. That'll wrap it up for this edition of the Rich Eisen Show.